Good evening, everyone. If you would, grab a Bible and let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29. I am aware and want you to be aware that this is considered a short sermon, all right? So I will also say to some of you who commented this morning about the fact that I had 5 points, I will have 5 points tonight. Don't freak out, okay? It'll be okay. But we will, Lord willing, be done in about a few minutes here. And so I appreciate this opportunity to be before you again. I want to read here from Jeremiah 29. As you're turning there, I just want to set some of our context to prepare for the thought that I have that I want to share with you tonight. This is written during the era of the beginnings of the Babylonian captivity, when the people of Judah, some of them have begun to be taken into exile in Babylon. And yet there are some who are still in Judah. So the nation is sort of split up. And there are rumors, some of them fostered by false prophets, that maybe all of this is about to end and Babylon's going to go away. And Jeremiah is going to write a letter in chapter 29 to the exiles who are in Babylon. So it says in Jeremiah 29 in verse 1, "These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." Verse 4, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." So the message is pretty clear. There is a certain way that God wants his people to live while they're in exile. He wants them to respond to their circumstances in a certain way that reflects their faith in him. And I want to look at this. I'm going to call this tonight, How to Live in Exile, because I want you to hear that there is a strong comparison between the way Jeremiah discusses exile and the way Peter is also going to write a letter to exiles when we get to the New Testament. So I want you to think about that, because there is a similarity, a connection between the idea of Israelites living in a foreign land and Christians being exiles among a people who are not like us, and also away from the place where we truly belong. We've sung about that several different times tonight, where we sing about the city of God, where we belong, where our citizenship is, and yet we are not there. And so there is a tension there, just like these Jewish people would have felt. And so I want you to hear some of what Jeremiah says to them about how to live in exile. So the first thing he says in verse 5 is build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce. I want you to hear that. The idea of building houses and planting gardens. Settle in. Be prepared to be there permanently. Build a house, by the way, is probably a little more literal than we would expect it to be in our time. They're going to build a house themselves. They're going to find a permanent place there in the city where they've been cast off, and they're going to live there. And then he says, plant gardens and eat their produce. So you're going to be there a little while. Expect that to be a place where you stay, a place that has your mark on it. It is now your place, even though it is a foreign land. He is telling them, invest where you are. Do the things that you would do if this was where you wanted to be. If you plan to be there for a long time, do that. Live that way in exile. Then he tells them, marry and bear children. Verse 6, take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons. Give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. So in other words, don't let the fact that you're in an unfamiliar setting or in a less than ideal place keep you from doing the things you would normally do, the things that would make a full, joyful life, that if you were back where you wanted to be, you would do these things, so do them there. Now, we talked about singleness a few weeks ago, and I mentioned when we talked about singleness that there's nothing wrong with singleness. Singleness is a perfectly justifiable and fine state, provided that we can be content in our singleness. And so I don't think he's saying here that marriage is the only way forward. I think what he is saying is that your life is going to take place in exile. So embrace it and do the things you would normally do. Have the life you would want to have to the extent that you're able. Marry and bear children. Let this be a place where your family now says, this is our place. He says, seek the welfare of the city. This is verse 7. Seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. And I think that must have been awfully strange. Because now he is saying to Jewish people who have been defeated, some of them killed or had family members killed by Babylon, pray for Babylon. Pray for the city. Seek its welfare. Come to God on behalf of the city. Seek its welfare. That must have sounded awfully strange. In other words, don't hold out hope that this place is going to be destroyed. That's not what's going to happen right now. Seek its welfare, not its destruction. Pray to Yahweh for the city, not against the city. Let its good be your focus. Its welfare will be your welfare. Now, I don't know everything that means. I'm not sure we can know. But I know at the very least it means we're not going to be rebellious against the Babylonian government or revolutionaries. That's not what God wanted. And I'm sure there was some of that spirit among the people there to say, no, we don't like this. But perhaps it also means more than that. Seek the welfare of the city. May just mean let's try to make where we are a better place to live. Let's make it a place that we would want to be and other people would want to be. So let's want Babylon to win these wars. Let's want the economy in Babylon to be strong and the ruler in Babylon to be capable. Let's want that. Let's seek the welfare of the city because in its welfare, he says, you will find your welfare. So you see, we're moving fast through these 3 points, right? Okay, everybody still with me? Don't believe those who are deceiving you about timing. There is something here, too. I mentioned there are kind of whispers going around, false prophets and things. Look again at verse 8. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it's a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. Verse 10, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you. In other words, there were people going around saying, no, it's not going to last that long. This is temporary. It won't be that bad. We'll be out of here quickly. And there is always an appeal from people telling us it won't be that hard. Or in another part of Jeremiah, it just says, they keep saying peace, peace. Peace is coming soon. The hard times are about to be over. And God says, I didn't send them. Don't listen to them. Don't be deceived. And especially, I want you to hear that. He wants his people to guard their hearts against being deceived. If we believe people who speak in the name of God but tell lies, what ends up happening is that we lose faith in God. And so he says, watch out for people who are going to speak in my name and tell you things that are not true, especially in terms of when this is going to be over. And then the last thing he says here is remember that I will visit you. In verse 10, he says that when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you. Verse 11, by the way, you probably know if you've given a graduation gift, you've seen Jeremiah 29:11 because it's just everywhere. I don't know that it's usually in its context, but it's talking about how God has a different vision for his people than what they see in the moment. What they see in the moment is exile and hardship, but he says in verse 11, I have plans for your welfare or your good and not for evil to give you a future and hope. But he says, I will come when I am ready in my time. So I want you to hear. What they are hoping for is God to end it all in the unpleasantness right now. And God says, no, I'm calling you to a different kind of service in me, a different kind of faith. It's the kind of faith that an exile would live, where you settle in and you build a home and you build a family and you become a good citizen and you pray to God on behalf of the city and you wait for God. That's what an exile does. I want you to go with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1 now. 1 Peter 1. So Jeremiah writes a letter to the exiles, and so does Peter. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 1, Peter writes, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." To the elect exiles, he writes. And what does he say? Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ, Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." He talks about how we are waiting for something, that there is an inheritance awaiting us, but we don't have it yet. We're waiting for it. So like those exiles, we await God's return and God's deliverance. It just has not happened yet. In verse 17, he says, 1 Peter 1:17, "If you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile." Notice that. We have a certain attitude that comes because we know we're waiting something, and we also know that we don't belong where we are. And so we are fearful in the sense that we know there will be judgment based on what we do and how we live, even if the people around us do not provide the judgment. And then look in chapter 2 and verse 11, 1 Peter 2 and verse 11. "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which war against the soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." So he says, you live among Gentiles. Be careful how you live. Live as a sojourner and an exile, and keep your conduct honorable and abstain from the passions of the flesh. So I want to make a couple of observations, and then we'll sing. We are living in exile. We live among a people who do not know our God. And there are certain attitudes that we need in this. I believe we're being called to a certain spirit, that we need a comfort level with the fact that on the one hand, we do not belong here and we're waiting for something better. And on the other hand, we are here for an indefinite period of time. And it seems to me that part of what Jeremiah is saying when he says, build your houses and marry and seek the welfare of the city, is he's saying sometimes we could be so focused on the deliverance that's far away that we miss the good we can do right in front of us. And I believe that's what Jeremiah is calling them to. Get ready to live and do good right now. And when God is ready, God will do the delivering. God will visit you when he's ready. And so I would say to us, sometimes when we think only about the fact that we're awaiting a better city and that we're awaiting a Savior from heaven, and we sing, this world is not my home and I'm just passing through, we can blind ourselves to the good opportunities right in front of us to make the world around us better, to do the good we can do in a family and in a planted place, to be a light to the Gentiles around us. And so I believe we're being called to that spirit that says, while I'm here, I'm going to do everything I can to show the light of the God I serve in the community where I live. There is also this issue of timing. The prophets discussed timing, and we can go in one of two directions with that. Sometimes people will say, well, he's about to come back. It's going to come back right now. Get ready right now. And that still goes on in our time. There are people who predict the coming of Jesus just about every minute and every day and every year. And Jesus, of course, said that's not the way that's going to work. But on the other side, Peter also talks about people who say, well, he hasn't come back yet. He's probably not going to come back. Everything's just the same as it's always been. And on both of those extremes, there is danger. So what we need then is the spirit that says, I'm an exile here. I'm here for a while. I don't know how long. I'm going to serve the Lord in the place where I am with the people in my circles and the opportunities in front of me. And I'm going to do the things that a good person would do in the place where I am. But my citizenship is in heaven, and from it I await a Savior, and he will come back, and he will visit us and deliver us, and we will go home to the place where things make sense. So let me just remind you that when you feel the uncomfortableness that comes with life on earth, when you feel the sadness that comes because you know that death doesn't feel right, the sadness that comes when I don't want to part from the people I care about most, the sadness that comes because things aren't the way they should be, just know that's the feeling of not being home. And someday all those tears will be wiped away and all those wrongs will be made right and we will see the Lord. And so you can hear it. Our minds are in two places. We serve where we are, but we keep our eyes above because we're awaiting something greater from there. So we're going to offer the invitation at this time. And if there is someone here tonight who is ready to take a step toward the Lord and to put their faith in Him, believing that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, who came to earth and died for our sins and yet was raised the third day and now is at the right hand of God, and we await His return. And so you believe in Him and you're ready to give your life over to Him to be back.